Chapter 11. Purely Personal. Radio engineers are not all volts and amps and slide rules. They have personal lives, too. I was 20 when I married Gertrude. She was 22. I had been working as an engineer at WEBC for 3 years and was living in a sparse bedroom at the downtown YMCA. The bathroom was down the hall, which I shared with 10 other fellows. I longed for a real home, with loved ones around. And then I met Gertrude. It was easy to meet her as she was the one and only secretary at WEBC. I walked by her desk each time I came and went to the station. So, we were married on that cold winter afternoon, December 21st, 1929, in the pastor's living room. Only other ones there were two neighbors who came in as witnesses. It was Saturday, and I took that day off from work, and the next day, too. Monday, I was back on the job. 2 years later, a son was born to us, but that tiny tot died at birth. After that, two more sons came who grew big and strong. I stood in the doorway at our home and watched the last one come into this world. The doctor had come to our home that afternoon to officiate in his birth. No one else was present. It was common that children be born at home back there in 1935. Having a baby was not considered a medical thing, and mothers did not go to hospitals to have children. Hospitals were for sick people. Then came the war, and I marched off to do my bit as research engineer in the Signal Corps. Returning home 3 years later, I discovered I no longer had a marriage. Gertrude announced she now wanted to be single, that she had a career, and would I step aside? This was so common those after the war years. GIs came home to discover a wife who had carved out a new life for herself and no longer wished to be married. We quietly divided our property. She got the home we owned and the furniture in it, and I got the car and a tiny cabin on the shore of Lake Superior. That's all the property there was. Everyone was poor in those days. 6 years ago, I was at a cemetery in Superior, standing by an open grave into which Gertrude's body was being laid to rest. Beside me were our two sons, hers and mine, now middle-aged grown men. In this simple graveside ceremony, the pastor spoke of wonderful land out there beyond to where she had now just gone. But I was not listening. Flooding in on me were memories of long ago, when she and I were so young, so sweet, and so much in love. And when our sons led me back to the car, I was crying. The year is now 1945, and I'm single once again after the divorce, and once more I'm living in a single room, in a private dwelling in Duluth, and once again I'm longing for a home with loved ones around. Then I met June by pure chance. That afternoon I was busy at my desk at WEBC, and just to stretch my legs, I got up from the desk and walked to the door of my office, opened it, and looked out on the station lobby. I saw a small group of young people who had come to the station to act out a radio drama this one time. On the right side of the group, I saw a beautiful redhead woman holding a script and trembling with excitement. I said to myself, I must meet that girl. And I did meet her, and we've been meeting ever since, celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary last year. Had I looked out my door 5 minutes earlier or 5 minutes later, I would never have met her. When the gods roll the dice, one never knows what will come up. 2 years after that, son Mark poked his head into the world, and a year and a half later came Scott, and a bit later, Kim. Three sons who grew up straight and true. And as the years went by, June poured great amounts of love and discipline on them equally. In those days, it was the father who worked, and it fell to the mother who stayed home and shaped a child's character, although the father figure was always there. All too soon, sons grow up, and when Mark and Scott returned from their tour of duty in Vietnam during that war, they for a short time worked at our radio station in Brainerd, and then they went on to develop their own very successful businesses. I wanted to give our radio station business to one of our sons, but none were interested, They were all so successful at their own business, they did not want to leave those just to take over a radio station. Besides, as they explained, we do not want to have to work as hard as Mom and Dad. But guess how hard they work in their own businesses. Son Mark completed his tour of duty in the Army over in Vietnam. Then, a year or so at KVBR as a newsman. Then he went into broadcast station engineering, a field he had been preparing himself for many years. In his early days of consulting work for Midwest radio stations, he would often come back saying, "Yes, they remember you, Dad." And as time went by, the new crowd of radio station owners and engineers came in who did not know me, and I was gradually forgotten. Today, when I attend a meeting of broadcasters, they will come up to me and notice my name on my name tag. Will say, "Do you know Mark Persons?" I say, "Yep, I've known him all his life." So as time passes, the torch is thrown, and Mark carries on. I sometimes wonder if my life had had any impact on the lives of others in the broadcast field, and I realize I have. Engineers I hired would come to me fresh out of school, and I would give them their first job. They would settle down to a lifetime of work in the broadcast field, would retire, and possibly die, and all that while I am still here. I get the feeling I'm eternal. Engineers like T.O. Jorgensen, we called him Jorgie, who came to me right out of school in 1935, when I had already been with the Arrowhead Network 9 years. And he went to work at WMFG in Hibbing. Through the years, he moved from station to station, winding up at the boss's TV station in Spokane, Washington. Then he retired, his life work done, and has since died, while I am still here. The same for Mervyn Greeley, Bill Louseberry, J. Hunter Duncan, Walter Haru, Matt Gleason, Max Pierce, Robert Kolsky, Jack Delahunt, and more. All completed their life work and retired. Some have died, and I am still here. And that brings us up to now. Where Have All the Broadcasters Gone? By Charles B. Persons. Narrated by Kirk Harnack.